Hello and welcome to Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Dashwan, and with me in studio today is England football analyst, Nigel Nyker.
Great to be here, Dash. Let's dive in.
Nige, we've got a massive fixture to unpack. It's Tottenham hosting Liverpool. Of course, this is the big one for Ange Postecoglou, as his side play Man United and Liverpool in the same week. Is this the biggest week of his managerial Spurs career?
Yeah, you would assume so, especially with the kind of pressure that they're on in the past recent weeks. Very up and down results they've been getting recently. Did smash Southampton 4-0 last week. So there is some upward trajectory to come into these two games.
Yeah, you know, the Londoners actually put 5 against Southampton without reply. An emphatic performance, considering they opened the scoring as early as the first minute.
Yeah, look, I think we spoke about how Spurs are very exciting on their day. When things click, they seem to go really well. They can outscore you. Second highest league squad is in the league. So, yeah, I think they're very attractive, very entertaining team. It's just about consistency now.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that word consistency, because you never know what to expect when Tottenham are playing. It's just the scary reality of the situation.
Yeah, I think it's really, really scary, especially for Big Ange, because just to be so up and down, and he's giving the players the tools. It's now about finding that performance, striking that balance between being extra good and just poor.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned finding the balance, because Ange has spoken about some of his plays in the first team. I think it was just weeks ago he was singling out Timo Werner and saying he's not at the appropriate level. Do you feel that's worthy criticism?
Look, I'm never one for managers cucking out players in public and in interviews, but there also comes a time where players need to take some responsibility. At the end of the day, this is Big Ange's job on the line. If players don't perform, he gets the sack. Yeah. And Timo Werner is a seasoned international. I think Big Ange mentioned this. And you expect more from these players. Big money signing as well. So, just expect more from Timo.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's actually open up a bit about the mentality of the team, because they are running out. They are fresh off a 5-0 drubbing of Southampton. They've got a midweek cup game against the Red Devils, Manchester United. Surely if they go on and get a result, it could spur them on this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. Pun intended, I guess. Spurs are really, really exciting, like we did mention. And a cup semi-final to look forward to as well. So can they get the result? A big result against Manchester United would do them a world of good as well. So I'm sure coming into this game, they have one eye on that semi-final in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, and you know, one eye on the medical room as well, because they've just been hit with many injuries. I think it was within the last two fixtures or so, they lost both their centre-backs. And it's incredible when you consider those are the star players at Tottenham also. I'm talking Mickey van der Ven and Christian Romero.
Yeah, two top centre-backs. I think two players that would walk into most Premier League teams. Definitely going to be missed. They've seemed to be coped well with them against Southampton, albeit not much of a big goal threat against them. But yeah, can they now perform well until these two big boys come back?
Yeah, and you know, it's not just him, it's the goalkeeper as well. I mean, you're looking at your entire defense right there, the centre-back pairing and the goalkeeper, who's played for Tottenham for about the last two seasons now.
Yeah, it's certainly not ideal, especially when their club seeming to be in crisis. You want your best players available to pull you out of this rut. And yeah, they seem to be in a bad space right now.
Yeah. I guess, in playing devil's advocate here, do they have the squad to firstly carry them through this intense week, and secondly, secure positive results against two of the biggest clubs in the land?
Look, I honestly don't see it, especially with the profiles missing. And you factor in the way that Spurs play, very high line. You're coming up against two of the best transitional teams in Manchester United and Liverpool. Love to hit you on the counter-attack. Have players who can hurt you in behind. Yeah. So, they have their work cut out for them this week.
Yeah, you know, talking about players who can hurt you, Mohamed Salah, currently the Premier League joint top scorer, a feat made even more impressive when you consider he's 32 years of age, no spring chicken.
Yeah, no, aging like fine wine is the Egyptian king, in my opinion. I think every season he just gets better. Also, hugging the touchline, which is even more impressive, to be playing on out wide and still getting that goal contribution week in, week out, and also a top assist maker as well. So, yeah, look, one of the best players the Premier League has ever seen.
Yeah, he could actually have a field day against the Spurs outfit. I mean, they've kept just a single home league clean sheet across their previous 34 appearances. I mean, it's shocking.
Yeah, it's not good reading at all. Liverpool will be licking their lips coming into this one, especially they booking a space in the semi-final already in the Carabao Cup. So now just to look, watch Spurs tonight and then come back to them this weekend.
Yeah. You know, let's actually discuss Liverpool's previous league fixture. It was a 2-2 draw against Fulham. Now, you know, watching that game, they played with 10 men for about 70-odd minutes. I mean, over an hour, and they carried a deficit as well. But they had that never-say-die attitude about them.
Extremely impressive. I don't think many teams in the league come back and save something from that position, especially playing so long with 10 men. But they do it. They manage to do it. It's a combination of Anfield being such a monstrous place to go. And I think they're clinical forwards. Every chance they get, every time they go forward, they look like they're going to score. They can hurt you with these really good attacking players. So yeah, look, never say die, and salvaged a point from what would many would count them as a loss.
You know, they just look so perfect, so complete, so historic. I mean, what is the ceiling for this team?
Look, I don't think there is much of a ceiling if you consider the way that they're going. It's already December, close a week till Christmas, top of the Premier League, top of the Champions League, and a Carabao semi-final to look forward to. They look like they're firing on all cylinders, and they have players that can really hurt you. I count four all-timers in their team. It's the goalkeeper, Alisson, Trent, Virgil, and Mo Salah. Those are four goats of our game. Yeah. And really, really performing at the highest level already.
Yeah, they certainly earned their Premier League stripes, as has Jurgen Klopp, who set this team up. I mean, is this really the framework of investments from the past?
Yeah, no doubt. I think Jurgen Klopp has left the squad in the best possible shape you can imagine. I think a few years back when Sir Alex left Old Trafford, we could see that the team was aging and it wasn't in the best position to go on and compete. Look at this Liverpool team, miles ahead in the way Klopp has left them. And yeah, it does look like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, but they have been conceding goals. I mean, if you look at the last Premier League games against Fulham, we conceded 2. Against Newcastle, conceded 3. It's not like it's an impenetrable outfit. Do Tottenham have it in them to unpack that defence?
Yeah, look, I think Spurs will score against them. They're the second highest in the league, squatters in the league. And especially with Liverpool's susceptibility to be conceding goals at this rate. But yeah, I think Liverpool outscore them with their forwards. They just have too much quality going forward. And yeah, Liverpool win for me.
Yeah. It sounds like you're calling a goal fest at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, especially with the way Spurs like to play with that high line. I think Salah is going to have a field day there. And yeah, I think they will concede as well.
Yeah. You know, Liverpool coming into this round of fixtures in top spot. First place, 36 points from their opening 15 league fixtures. Conversely, Spurs have accumulated 23 points from their opening 16 league fixtures. It's chalk and cheese when you look at the log table.
Yeah, it certainly is. I think Spurs could have done much, much better this season so far in a few results. But yeah, Big Ange will be really disappointed, especially with the money that they invested earlier this season, getting their marquee signings in Dom Solanke. And yeah, I think that they would be one to be further up the table.
Yeah, you know, Liverpool with just a single league defeat this season. Tottenham with 7 from their 16. I mean, it just seems like they can't get it right. Because as you mentioned, they do score goals. They're literally second only to Chelsea on the Premier League scoring charts. It's just defensive duties that they can't seem to get organized at the back.
Yeah, and it makes matters worse coming into this game without your first choice centre back pairing and keeper. So I really do fear for them this weekend.
Yeah, no chance of a draw.
No chance of a draw. I think Liverpool carry on the steam train.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's where we're going to leave it for Tottenham versus Liverpool. Premier League analyst Nigel Nagger calling a victory for Liverpool with both teams to score for added value. Moving along to the remaining fixtures of this weekend, we're going to kick things off with Aston Villa hosting a trouble outfit in Manchester City. Is Pep heading for the exit?
Look, I don't think we can stand here and disrespect the man.
Okay.
Pep has been one of our best ever managers that I've witnessed. And I would go so far as to say one of the greatest ever to have lived. That's based on stats and titles won, basically. Mm. So, look, they're going through a rut. It isn't the best reading. I think they're winless in like 11 games now.
It's got to stop somewhere?
Yeah, it has to stop somewhere. And I think they have the quality in their squad to do it. I think Pep has the quality to innovate and to turn things around, try different things, maybe move Stones into the centre. With Kovacic coming back, might have some relief there. But yeah, they're just too good to be so poor.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned squad just now, because we saw unrest in the Man City camp following their Derby Day defeat to Manchester United. Now, I'm not sure if we're talking about the same thing, but I'm just going to come out and say it. Bernardo Silva called out his teammate Matias Nunez on broadcast television. I mean, that's just something you cannot do.
Yeah, look, I think Bernardo Silva was a bit out of line there. I think you got to handle that behind closed doors. Don't hang your teammate under the bus in public like that.
Because it's a team of 11 players. Yeah. You know, he might have been the one to commit the error, but it is a game of 11 players.
100%. And especially Nunes, he's a young kid. He doesn't play that much. So you want to put your arm around him when you do make these errors. And yeah, I think Bernardo Silva should have known better. But it also does feel like the writing is on the wall for the City team, where they are backs against the wall. They're complaining now about silly things. Like that was totally uncharacteristic of Bernardo Silva. You've never seen him behave like that before. And that's because they're in this rut. So I think the quicker they turn it around, the better for them.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Oh, you mentioned turning things around, because I was going to ask you where to now for the Man City team. A fixture like Aston Villa at Villa Park. Mm. Gosh, doesn't come much more difficult than that.
Not at all. I think Villa Park is one of the most difficult places to go to in the Premier League. Albeit that they might be struggling this season as compared to last season. But yeah, it's not a place that they want to go to and in need of a win, especially. So all guns blazing, they need for this weekend.
Mm. Are City coming out of the 3 points?
Look, I literally can't call it. I don't know how they're playing at the moment. I don't know where their next result is going to come from. They're also low and very on confidence. So, look, if anything, they do get the result. And because of Villa's up and down performances, they need Haaland back, and they need De Bruyne back at their highest level. Mm. But I think they might get a result here, if not a draw.
All right. Well, let's move things along then to West Ham versus Brighton. Now, Brighton catching the eyebrow last weekend, falling to Crystal Palace, 3-1.
Yeah, look, no one saw that coming. Well, I didn't for sure. Palace do look like they're on the up, but this Brighton team are really good. And to lose in that manner, I didn't see it coming. I'm a big fan of Herzeliger, the young coach, and the way he's got Brighton playing. So I think Brighton get something from this West Ham game.
Yeah, you know, West Ham actually conceded a 90th minute equaliser against Bournemouth at the Vitality Stadium. It was a chaotic final, which saw both teams score after 85 minutes of play.
Yeah, look, I think West Ham were unlucky to get pegged back there. Bournemouth are a really good team, though, eh? Never say die attitude. And I think they're sixth or seventh in the league.
Yeah, no, they finished sixth. It's their highest ever finish, or rather position, at this stage of the campaign.
It's your credit to Iriola and Bournemouth. Also, losing their big striker and to be performing at this level, it's just top.
Yeah, a feat made even more impressive when you look at how poorly he started off his managerial campaign with the Cherries.
Yeah, no doubt. To turn things around and then to be on the train of this result, really, really credit to him and his squad.
Yeah. Brighton or is Bournemouth coming away with a victory? Yeah.
Look, I think Bournemouth are a top team. So I'm going to say squad draw. Yeah, West Ham are also really good. Eh.
Yeah. All right. Moving along to Ipswich hosting Newcastle. You just kind of wonder if Ipswich can string together some positive results to move them up the luck, because the results just haven't been coming their way.
Yeah, I think they could be hard done by. Like you mentioned, results haven't been coming their way, but for me, the performances are there. They look like they're fighting for their manager, fighting for their fans. And yeah, look, the Premier League is just so tough. To stay up in this league, you're going to have to string a few results back-to-back together, move yourself up the table, and take the pressure off yourselves. I do believe they can. It's just the Premier League is a different beast.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned playing for the manager, because last time out, they actually defeated Wolves 2-1. However, the winner came in stoppage time. A 90-plus-4-minute goal from Jack Taylor snatched the 3 points from the Molyneux, earning them just their second win of the league campaign.
Yeah, look, priceless win for them. Also, might be the reason Gary O'Neill might have got the sack. And just playing for the manager, like we said, two tales of players really fighting and giving them all. And yeah, Kieran McKenna has got his team really, really well drilled.
Yeah, well, you know, they're up against a Newcastle team that are hungry for points. They currently find themselves in 12th position. Surely it's going to be all guns blazing this weekend.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Newcastle fell off the season a lot compared to what they were doing last season. So they need some results in the league. They got a major result midweek in the Carabao Cup, beating Brentford 3-0. So Carabao Cup semi-finals now. So mood will be up in the club. So can you go and beat a newly promoted team and move up the table?
Surely. It's the 3 points for Eddie Howe and company.
Yeah, I would assume. But just no midweek game for Ipswich might throw a spanner in the works there. They might be a bit fresh for them. So, yeah, look, I'm going both teams to score.
All right. Moving along to Brentford, up against a high-flying Nottingham Forest. I mean, they're currently in the Champions League spots, top four position. Make it make sense.
Yeah, look, high-flying. Nuno's got them on a proper train. And really good players as well. Morgan Gibbs-White, one of my favourites. Just play very good football and getting results at the same time.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned getting results, because they actually have been in a bit of a dry run in front of goal. Just the 21 league goals this season across their 16 league appearances. It's the fewest goals from clubs in the top half of the log.
Wow. Just goes to show that you can be watertight at the back and still get results even though you don't score much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's credit to Nuno and his team. Credit to the solid defense as well.
Yeah. Of course, this weekend, it's against Brentford at the G-Tech, which can only mean one thing. Goals.
Yeah, no doubt. The G-Tech has seen some crazy games this season. A very difficult place for opposition player teams to go to. I think Brentford are still unbeaten there. So I think they're going to have their work cut out for them.
Yeah. Is there a win in this one?
Yeah, I'm backing the Bees here. I think after getting thrashed 3-0 in the Carabao Cup, I think they turn things around this week at an unbeaten G-Tech.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, in keeping with the EFL Cup ties, we actually have a replay on our hands. Crystal Palace up against Arsenal. Of course, it was Gabriel Jesus who walked away with a match ball after his hat-trick guided Arteta and company into the next round of fixtures.
Yeah, I think a very, very massive win for Arsenal and for Jesus as well. I think they needed to turn things around after dropping points back-to-back in the past 2 weeks. Nice run out for Jesus. Great for his confidence. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see if they can back it up this weekend.
You know, if you look at the log, it's currently Arsenal in third place against Palace in 15th place. However, there is a bit of form in his Palace outfit. They're undefeated across their previous 5 league outings.
Yeah, good upturn in form, and they needed it. Probably save Glasner's job, in my opinion. And yeah, look, they're a very solid team. I watched them last night, and very good players. Eze, Mateta, look, players across the pitch that can really hurt you. And if they can string a run of good points, they can find themselves in the top half soon.
Yeah, you know, Arsenal themselves haven't been so convincing in the league this season.
Yeah, just not getting over the line. Criticism coming off not killing teams, sideways passing, not having a natural-born killer in the team to get them over the line. And yeah, the performances are there. It's just not being penetrative enough in the final third to get over the line.
Yeah. In your opinion, is this a winnable fixture for Oliver Glasner? Because this is a home game for him in front of the Selhurst Park faithful, which has been on his side for the large part of 2024.
Yeah, no doubt. I think they target these ones. It's a London derby as well. It's not a long trip from the Emirates to Selhurst Park. So can they make the stadium raucous? They've got players that can hurt you as well. So can they buy into that and really make it tough for Arsenal on the day?
Yeah, your prediction, yeah.
With Arsenal dropping points in the last 2 weeks of the Premier League, I think they turn things around here. I think they beat Palace here.
All right. Well, that concludes Saturday's fixtures. Moving on to Sunday, we have an Everton outfit hosting a high-flying Chelsea, but the way they've been playing, it's like almost incredible.
Yeah, I think form-wise, best team in the league over the past 5 games. And Joe got players like Cole Palmer and Nicholas Jackson who can take the game away from you in a flash.
Yeah.
So can they keep them fit? Can they keep Caicedo fit, who's been exceptional as well? Everton finding it hard to score, but a compact team, in my opinion. Last week, they defended really well at the Emirates against Arsenal. And yeah, can they make it hard for Chelsea, who are seriously high-flying at the moment?
Yeah, I know you mentioned Cole Palmer, and you know, Everton fans would not be happy to see him in that Chelsea shirt. I think it was him who scored 4 goals against Everton not so long ago.
Yeah, look, how do you contain the man? He can score from every type of goal. And sure, Everton are going to have their hands cut out for them this weekend.
Yeah. You know, let's actually discuss that tactical display against the Gunners last time out, because I don't want to say that Arsenal had that many high-quality chances.
Yeah, no doubt. I think Everton, when they get into that low block of theirs, force you wide, they make it really difficult for you to create chances. And they've got really good defenders in the middle of the park. Idrissa Gana Gueye and Decore are very good athletes, cover a lot of the pitch, make it difficult for you. So if they can do the same against Chelsea, block out the middle, force them wide, it's going to be really difficult on the day.
Yeah. Well, of course, they secured a point against the Gunners at the Emirates. Can they do the same against Chelsea at Goodison, or maybe even go for all three?
In my opinion, I think they can, especially because of Chelsea due a loss or due to drop points. They've won 5 on the bounce, and the Premier League is just so difficult. I think Everton can find a positive result here.
Oh, bold prediction from you. I'm going to put that on my slip. Moving along to Old Trafford, Manchester United up against Bournemouth. Now, Marcus Rashford was left out of Man United's League Cup squad to face Tottenham after a bombshell admission that he's rumoured to be ready to leave Old Trafford.
Yeah, not good news you want to hear coming out of Old Trafford, especially considering that Rashford is a United Academy product, born and bred, and a fan faithful. Fans love him. Maybe over the past 3 years, his form has dipped and he's been a bit of
outspoken much?
Yeah, 100%. So it does look like the writing is on the wall for his career at Manchester United, which is really sad in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm sure no Man United fan would want to see him go. But for the sake of his career and probably the trajectory of Man United, I don't think the union should last much longer. Alejandro Garnacho made his return to the squad after also being left out against that Manchester derby team that travelled to City and emerged with the 3 points. How big of that was that win for Ruben Amorim, considering he's just been appointed and he's dropped probably the best 2 players in the team?
It's massive. It's massive, especially considering they were back-to-back losses just before the derby. And then to drop arguably your two best wingers and go to the home of the champions and win there, I think that's going to instill so much confidence in this United dressing room that they now can mix it with the big boys. They can go to there and win on their ground. So yeah, great to see, and also a message to the players that, hey, the standard and the level is higher. You're not training hard in the week. You're going to be left out just like Rashford and Garnacho. So I feel Emerson is finding his feet at Old Trafford.
Yeah. Is he going to claim all 3 points this weekend against Bournemouth?
Sure. I don't see it coming. Bournemouth are just such a top team. Are they playing at Old Trafford? Might be the turning point, and that just edges it in their favor, especially coming off the back of winning at the Etihad. And you got a big game here tonight in the Carabao Cup. So can you keep that trajectory, keep the mood up in the camp before you play a Bournemouth?
Yeah, well, you know, Nigel Olivier calling a victory for Man United at the Theatre of Dreams. Just could he be restoring faith? Moving along to Fulham up against Southampton. Now, Southampton parting ways with Russell Martin after that massive 5-0 defeat to Tottenham last weekend.
Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall. Southampton have been poor this season, conceding goals at an alarming rate. And yeah, is it savable for a new manager? Can they come and turn the tide? It's really difficult for me.
Yeah, well, look away, because they're up against a Fulham outfit who are on a 15-game scoring streak in the Premier League, the longest of all top-flight clubs.
Yeah, I think they're very entertaining, and that just goes to show why. You just can't rule them out. Every time they go forward, they've got quality players that can hurt you. And are they playing at Craven Cottage? Even so, they're very strong at home.
A bank of the weekend?
Yeah, I would assume. Unless you're going to look at the new manager bounce and hopefully Southampton gets something. But yeah, look, Fulham look really good, eh?
All right. Moving along, the final fixture of the weekend sees Leicester hosting a currently managerless Wolves. Is this the one where Ruud van Nistelrooy is going to claim maximum points?
Oh, the Wolves team is really, really difficult to call, especially because of their inconsistent performances. I think they have players that are really good. And on paper, I would back this Wolves team. But as you mentioned, managerless might be coming with problems. This is the perfect time for Ruud van Nistelrooy to get 3 points at home.
You're going for the Foxes?
Yeah, home win.
All right. Well, Nige, it's been a pleasure unpacking all things Premier League related with you. We're going to have to wait and see how your predictions play out this weekend. From all of us in studio, thanks and goodbye.
Cheers.